Welcome to ICTJ's podcast, where today we're discussing the legacy of the Special Court for Sierra Leone. Today in studio, we are joined by Allison Smith. She's the director of the International Justice Program with No Peace Without Justice. Thanks so much for joining us, Allison.
Oh, thank you for asking me. It's a pleasure to be here.
We're at a conference in New York talking about the legacy of this court. You work with the International Justice Program with No Peace Without Justice, and you've had extensive experience in looking at this institution in particular. When you think about the legacy of this court, are there particular aspects that come to mind immediately that you think it should be remembered for the most?
I think the main thing that the court should be remembered for is its vision, and particularly its vision in being an institution that was set up to serve the people of Sierra Leone and later also the people of Liberia. That vision, which began really with the Security Council when they agreed with the government of Sierra Leone that this court would be set up in Sierra Leone, this vision has really gone through the whole life of the court and is something that other courts and tribunals should be looking to as they go about their work and develop their strategies and so on.
And you recently published a report that was a major study of the court and the impact that it's had. Could you tell us a little bit about this report and what you were hoping it would achieve in the long run?
The report, which is based on a survey that we carried out in Sierra Leone and Liberia together with our partners, is trying to capture the perceptions of the people of Sierra Leone and Liberia about the impact and legacy of the court from their own perspective. What we were trying to look at was, now that we're at a moment when the court has more or less completed its work, the trials are all finished with the exception of the appeal in the Taylor case, we thought now is a good time to reflect on where the court has gone, where its legacy and impact are going, because this is a long-term process, I think, and just to see whether, from the perspective of people in Sierra Leone and Liberia, if it has been a worthwhile exercise for them. And, I mean, the main thing that we found from the survey that we did, which was with 2,841 people across the two countries, was that, yes, the court has been worthwhile for them. They feel that it has accomplished its mandate of prosecuting people, of bringing justice and helping restore the rule of law, and that generally feeling they felt satisfied with the whole process and were happy that it in fact took place.
We're hearing a lot about the outreach program of this institution and its critical importance in the day-to-day and also the lasting legacy of the court. And this phrase comes to mind, you know, there's a difference between justice being done and the perception that justice is being done. In the case of the special court, do you think that there's a real discrepancy there in terms of the justice that is seen to be done and the shortcomings of the institution itself?
Obviously, there were shortcomings and there were challenges and there were difficulties that the special court had to overcome. And I think some of those challenges perhaps were not resolved in a way that necessarily everybody was happy with. But in terms of the overall picture of justice, the thing that we found from the survey was that people did feel that justice had been done. They had some criticisms of specific aspects of the court. For example, they felt that rural communities had not been reached as much as they would have liked, and that particularly the case in Liberia. Some people obviously weren't particularly happy with some of the choices that were made in terms of prosecutions. But on the whole, people were satisfied, and I do think that the outreach program really had a lot to do with that, because right from the very beginning, the court principals and the court outreach staff were out there explaining what the court was and really engaging with people and getting their feedback on how the court was doing and how the court was operating and adjusting course, not in terms of prosecutions as such, but in terms of how the court interacted with people. And so I think that the outreach program of the court is something that will be a lasting legacy. Maybe not inside Sierra Leone so much, because it's more facilitated the legacy and impact inside the country, but as a legacy for other courts and tribunals that really this is what you have to be doing in order to make yourself effective and efficient as well.
In your work, when you look at the other tribunals that you mentioned here, do you think that that lesson is learned so to speak, in the newer iterations of the tribunals that we see, for example, the International Criminal Court?
I think it's an ongoing lesson that is continuing to be learnt, and not just by the ICC itself, but also by the states who make up the Assembly of States Parties. Certainly, I think in the beginning of the ICC, outreach was not something that was really prioritized. That's now some time ago. There's been a lot of work done both by the ICC, by civil society, and so on to get the outreach program of the ICC working better. There are many challenges, I think, still with the outreach program at the ICC. They would be the first to admit this. But one thing I think that's really important is that states need to learn this lesson as well. In the context of Sierra Leone, we saw the management committee were actually very supportive of the court's outreach efforts. And with the planning mission that took place in January of 2002, the members of the planning mission, who were composed of the management committee, actually themselves did outreach and went out on the radio, they went out speaking to people, they went up country and so on. And it would be nice if the states of the ICC ASP would draw lessons from that as well.
This was a court of many firsts. It was the first institution, the first court to indict a sitting head of African state, the former Liberian President Charles Taylor. Do you think that this precedent has had an impact on other countries in the region and on the African continent that are looking to seek accountability for the crimes of regimes?
I think it has had an impact, and I think one way that it has had an impact is that it's shown that it is possible to have criminal trials of people who have committed crimes irrespective of their position. And I think that's helped strengthen the political will of those who are in favour of accountability, be it through national trials, be it through the ICC, be it through some kind of regional court. We have to remember, I think, that a lot of the cases that are currently before the ICC were self-referred by the states in question. I have no empirical basis for making this statement, but I do suspect that the work of the special court and the demonstration that, yes, it is possible to have these kinds of trials and your society is not going to fall apart, but in fact it will help strengthen the rule of law and help strengthen peace, was probably a factor in the decisions of those states in making those referrals.
Critics of the court talk about its limited mandate and that it didn't cover the entire span of the civil war in Sierra Leone. In your opinion, did this limited jurisdiction affect the potential impact that the court could have had?
In my opinion, it would have been much, much better if the court had had jurisdiction from the beginning of the conflict, so from 1991. I think there were many, many challenges associated with its jurisdiction starting in 1996. And certainly when A Peace Without Justice was running outreach programs before the court started, this was one of the main questions that people asked. You know, why 1996? Why start then when the message that it's sending is that this court is Freetown-centric, that it doesn't care about the suffering of the people upcountry for the previous 5 years? And I know that the special court, when it began outreach as well, faced this question many, many times. I think in that respect, perhaps its impact was less in the sense that the crimes committed before 1996 were not prosecuted in court, but they were mentioned in court. It was part of the background and part of the context, so at least there was some recognition there. And then, of course, the work of the TRC, I think that helped not stop the impunity gap, but helped with some form of acknowledgement, recognition of the suffering of people. Was the impact less? Possibly, yes. But I think that there were other efforts that were helping to overcome that. And people, in the end, accepted and moved on.
Well, that this was an international court that had such a presence in the country, I think, is something that has come up several times as an aspect that will be remembered in its legacy. The report cites the need for these trials to take place close to where the conflict happened. And I guess in a way this can be controversial, especially in post-conflict societies where people are looking at the justice system and perhaps there is not capacity. But do you think the hybrid model was successful in doing that? And do you think it could be a model that could be replicated for other countries to have an international presence working together jointly in a situation country?
Absolutely. I would say yes. Maybe not a model in itself, but at least the spirit of the special court in terms of being a court based in the country is certainly something that can be replicated. Perhaps if I could just mention a couple of the other recommendations before finishing with that one. Many of the recommendations relate to what the court can do in order to strengthen its impact and its legacy. They sort of fall into a few different sets, and one set is related to outreach, obviously, that outreach needs to be an integral part of these kinds of courts and tribunals. It should be in part of the statute or at least part of the rules, so it has the recognition that it is an essential thing that the court needs to do in order to make it work effectively. And another thing that we found from the survey was we really can't underestimate the importance of planning for legacy and completion of mandates. And this goes for the International Criminal Court as well, that when it starts an investigation somewhere, it also needs to be thinking about its legacy and impact in terms of that particular country. Because at some point, even though the ICC is a permanent institution, it will leave that country. So it really needs to be planning for when it leaves before it even goes in. But with respect to the location of courts and tribunals, and particularly international courts and tribunals, I really think that what we found from the survey was the location of the court in Sierra Leone was of critical importance to embed it within the social fabric of Sierra Leone, to promote an ownership by the people of Sierra Leone in the court, which I think was very important in terms of their acceptance of the indictments, their acceptance of the arrests, and particularly here I'm thinking of the CDF and Chief Hinga Norman, and now their acceptance of the judgments and of the sentences. Of course, there are many factors that you have to take into account when you're thinking about where an international court is going to be located, or in the case of the ICC, where it's going to carry out its trials. But I think from our findings, where the impact in Sierra Leone was much greater than the impact in Liberia, and one reason for that being that the court was not in Liberia, it was in Sierra Leone, the default position should really be that at least some trials will take place, some parts of the proceedings will take place in the country, and if there's reasons why it shouldn't be, okay, you know, that can be worked through and that can be talked about. But in order to maximize its impact and legacy, also to maximize its efficiency and effectiveness, the default should really be that they should be in the country where the crimes were committed.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us, Alison.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.